All right, back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYM. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Our parade of candidates continues as now it looks like we're in the second round of interviews with those candidates who are wanting to appear on the program. So far, we have had every candidate appear except for Victor Hernandez, and the email still might be floating out there. Maybe he did not get our call. We're not quite sure, but Victor Hernandez is the only candidate to not show up to our round of interviews. But joining me right now in studio, Deanne Clark, a candidate for District 3 City Council. And Deanne, welcome back.
Thanks a lot.
Well, you've been out there, you've been campaigning, doing a little bit of block walking. What are you hearing from citizens?
Well, I'm hearing the same thing a lot of people are hearing, and it reinforces why I decided to run for this thing in the first place. You know, I had been appearing for about a year at the city council and felt that I was getting no response, that they weren't hearing what I wanted to say, which was to reduce the debt and to control the spending and to quit honoring special interest groups. And you know what? That's what's being said out in the on the streets. People who are hurting from their utility bills and are very, very concerned about water and certainly the utility bills that are coming up. And they just feel that the city council is not listening. I heard one lady say, we just have no voice. So that's why I was convicted to run and why I'm going through all this trouble and time and trying to raise a little money. And that brings up that money issue that we had the other day, which is important. And I guess your poll showed that it is important to people. And I think the reason that it is because it shows influence. And when people are able to influence their council members to vote certain ways or not to vote certain ways, then it carries a bigger weight. And so people like I am who are on fixed income and may not be able to raise $30,000 probably will not be obligated to anyone, but will hopefully carry the message that the people I'm talking to out there are saying, and that is, let's get this house in order.
Well, let me ask you this. You're always going to have money in politics.
Sure.
You know, from different political action committees. We see it here locally, obviously. Statewide, we see it federally as well. Do you think there needs to be some sort of ban on this? Or you know, what are you trying to accomplish by saying, oh, well, you know, we have special interest groups that are throwing money in. Isn't that always going to happen unless we just ban it?
Well, I'm kind of against banning things. I think the government should stay out of people's lives and let the people determine for themselves. And that's what I'm saying to you. I think they will when they see who's giving to whom, who stands to gain, who has things they want done, and will this council person be subject to that because they have taken that money? So it's really back down, as usual, to the people. To the candidate, get someone you think you can trust who will represent you and not a special interest group, and then go ahead and watch the money.
Let me ask you about this, because this is, you know, the special interest groups that were really, I think that you and there are others running, not only in District 3, but in other races who are talking about money that's coming in. It's a lot from developers, whether it be West Texas Home Builders Association. What, in your mind, how do you think West Texas Homeowners Association, the developers out there, are going against the other people in Lubbock?
Well, in a way, they're not going against, but they stand to gain, and that's the difference, because the guy on the street buys the house and has to pay the taxes and has to pay the rent and so on, whereas the developer stands to gain from those areas that they build. And what happens a lot of times, Chad, that I think we want to watch, and that is public money financing things and private money taking the profits from it. So that's where I just think we have got to be alert. We have got to, this is crisis time. If we have any kind of disaster, if we have any kind of economic downturn, we've got this water thing, got the electricity coming up, big things are coming up. And so it's time. It's time to tighten the belt. It's time to see where we can cut. It's time to stop the extra spending.
You brought up earlier that you've been out, you've been talking to people. They're concerned about their electric bills. They're concerned about water bills. They're concerned about every bill that they can possibly have.
That's right.
You know this. Going into the future, there's still water issues that the city's going to have to face.
Oh, for sure.
Most likely there's going to be more spending when it comes
exactly.
to water. Water bills probably won't be going down anytime soon.
That's
so,
right.
How do you, as a candidate, and if you were on the city council, you're talking to these folks and they're hoping you'll bring them some relief. But let me ask you this. Can you?
Only to this extent. I can help get involved in proposals that help us to save water. And then we've got to talk to people who have done this in other semi-arid areas and find out just exactly how do you keep the water, the tiny bit of water you can have. And certainly, whereas we want growth and we have natural growth, you've pointed that out, mm-hmm. we've got to be careful that we don't make that number one and not have water for the people that are here already.
Right. We need to go ahead and take the break. When we come back, we'll have one more segment with Deanne Clark, City Council candidate for District 3. Back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Deanne Clark, City Council candidate for District 3 in studios. We continue our look at the candidates. And Deanne, obviously one of the other big issues that I'm sure you have heard about, a lot of people have been bringing up, LP&L. And just the, seems like every week, almost every day maybe, there might be a news story about LP&L. Right now, LP&L, they want to transfer streetlight funding back to the city of Lubbock. Where are you on that and some of the other issues facing LP&L? And how do we get public trust back to LP&L?
Well, first of all, that seems fair to get the city lights back under the city. To get the trust, these people are going to have to show, these board members, that they really do intend to watch their spending. You know, they've had some high salaries and they've had some expenses. And so, and I think they're trying to. They're having a PR campaign and they're changing their bills. They're going to show those hidden costs that the city has put on the bills. And once they know, the people, that is, that they're on there and that adds to their utility bills and is part of what is hurting them, I think they will gain a little bit of trust. Also, the city has got to show a responsibility here toward keeping the expenses down because we're just now facing, like you say, lack of water, electricity requirements being met in the future, and these high bills that are going to come in the summer.
Yeah.
So we have got to hold their feet to the fire and have them be transparent. My gosh, they've done so many things in secret.
So for you, it seems as though LP&L bills are not going to go down anytime soon.
Probably not.
The hidden fees, hidden taxes, they might be out there, but those probably aren't going to go away, correct?
Well, I disagree with you because okay. I think that if the public brings enough pressure that they can be phased out, our city has gotten used to having like that $29 million more to spend, and we need to start finding other ways and start phasing that out so that the people are not paying more than their utility bills.
Let me ask you this. Does the city council do, does there need to be a bond election for some of the upcoming projects that have been discussed, like a police station, some other municipal buildings need to be renovated. Do we need a bond election for that, or is that something we need to put off in light of what we're hearing about water and other infrastructure?
Two things. It needs to be, first of all, the people need to know exactly what the expenses are, why they have to build something. They need to know that the city people have done everything they know how to cut expenses. Now, hear this. We have a huge budget, and it's adequate to meet the needs of maintenance and police and fire and all those things. Probably not to build these extra things. However, we're getting about $23 million more each year in natural growth. We have some areas we could cut back, such LEDA has $9 million it gets. We could take some of that. We could sell some of the buildings. I understand we own about 300 buildings all over town. We might have to sell some of those. It is time for us to manage within our budget. That's what the people want. They're having to do it at home, and so they want our city council to do that very thing. We have got to put off, though, this is what you're saying, we've got to put off the extras. And that includes a monorail or any of those fancy things. We've got to just tend to our basic business, which is running the city, keeping the people safe, providing water and electricity, and let's dig in and find out where we can do that.
Do you believe the city council has really cut and examined the budget and cut where they can cut? Or do you think they've left a little bit extra in there?
Oh, I'm sure they've left, and I attended a kind of a hearing that turned out to be a wish list, and I thought to myself, gosh, instead of thinking about the things that we want, let's get on to the things we need, and let's make sure that we are watching every penny and that we are capturing our revenue. You know, Chad, I need to say this real quickly, and that is that we are diverting a lot of our money to different things that already we are putting big hunks of money into downtown Lubbock and into the Overton receives about $40 million a year, and we do not get not one penny of that. Now, we can't change that. And that lasts till about 2030 or something like that. But we need to get to the basics just like the people are dealing with every day themselves.
Visiting with Deanne Clark, running for city council in District 3. A lot to, we've talked about money, how money influences politics. There's one candidate in your race, one opponent, who has gotten the bulk of the money. I think it's easy to say. Do you think his votes are bought and paid for? We're talking about Jeff Griffith. Do you think his votes are bought and paid for by the developers in town?
Well, far be it for me to say that, but there's certainly, we've seen the influence that people make. Is it going to be easy for Jeff to say no to not only are these his friends and companions in social events, but they're going to want certain things because that's how they make their money.
Like what? What do you think they're going
to
want?
Well, they're going to want to, of course, have some projects that go with Imagine Lubbock. They're going to have some projects that go with downtown Lubbock. And so, whereas those are important and we'd all like to see them happen, we may be to postponement time. And is he going to have the courage to say that to them?
Deanne Clark, as we wrap up, have probably about, 1 minute left or so. Go ahead and tell folks why they need to consider you and what separates you from everyone else running in this race.
Okay, it's very simple and very basic. I am an average citizen, but I'm very, very disturbed over what I'm seeing at City Council because I have children and grandchildren. I don't want to saddle those. I think if we can operate on the money that we have and get our debt down, that we'll have more money to spend. I know it's going to come in. I know we're going to grow. And so we need to get on the same page. And let's get our house in order. We are at crisis time, Chad. It is here.
Deanne Clark, appreciate your time today.